Good evening. How are you this evening?
Alive.
That is a good response. Anyway, we're glad that you're here and hope that the Lord blesses you in the evening. Be sure and remember that this week is District Assembly services, and the District Assembly will be held at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, and that is Tuesday through Thursday. And if you would like to watch any of the District Assembly, it will be played live on the East Tennessee District website. And if you would like that address, that website address, be sure and see me right after church and we'll get that to you. Since it is District Assembly week, we won't be having Super Summer Something Wednesday night. No services of any kind Wednesday night because of District Assembly, and so be sure and remember that. And if you come up here Wednesday night, you're going to have Super Summer Something all by yourself. And bring your food, yes. You will need to do that. So be sure and remember those things. Trail Life meeting is coming up July the 18th. Trail Life is such a wonderful thing. We had a kind of just an impromptu cookout for Trail Life last night. We had 9 boys and 5 men there. And so it's starting slowly, but it is starting. We've got several people that said that they were in Pennsylvania and could not be with us, and there are several kids involved, several boys involved in that. It is a great opportunity. So if you know any boys 5 to 18 that would benefit from this, be sure and let them know. It's kind of like Boy Scouts, but it's a Christian-based program, and so be sure and run that. We made the announcement this morning about the youth yard sale being on the week that 127 yard sale event. That is not going to happen that weekend. They are collecting stuff, but the yard sale will not occur that weekend. Because of the quartet that will be with us on Friday evening, and that's August the 5th. And the Guardian Quartet, and these flyers are out in the foyer on our Facebook page. If you want to hear what they sound like, you can connect from our Facebook page to their page and listen to some of their songs. This is a national quartet, folks. This is not Bobby Joe and his 5-string band from down the street, okay? You know what I'm talking about. This is a nationally known quartet, and we have had the opportunity to have them here. And so... Bobby Joe, if there is a Bobby Joe and his 5-string quartet, you know, I hope I haven't offended anybody. But anyway, they will be here August the 5th at 6 o'clock. And we're looking forward to a great time with the Guardian Quartet as they come and are here. And it's just going to be a good evening of worship and song, and I think you're going to enjoy it. And so take those flyers. Do not take them and put them in your car and forget about them. Take those flyers, the small ones, hand them out to people. If you know someplace that'll let you put up a poster there in the restaurant or someplace, take it, put it up there. But don't just leave those things in the car. Take them and do something with them, and we're going to have a great time. Pastor Tyler they're beginning kind of a new thing in the youth group upstairs. They're going to have some worship time up there as well as down here. And so tonight I'm going to be leading the songs that we're going to be singing. Next Sunday night, Brother Gale's going to be leading our singing. But tonight we're going to sing some of my favorite songs since I got to pick them out. How about that? I will sing of my Redeemer. Bye.
blood of the Lamb, redeem, redeem, His shining glory. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence in me doth continually dwell.
Lord Jesus, that we can come to this place this evening. We sense Your presence. We sense, Lord, that You are wanting to do something in our hearts and lives. We are grateful for our Redeemer. Just the thought that You would love us like You do, it overwhelms us. We're so grateful, Lord, that we can proclaim with Your word that my Redeemer liveth. And we give You praise, honor, and glory for that this evening. We rejoice in the things that You have done, but Lord, we rejoice in what You're going to accomplish in our hearts and our lives, our church this evening. May Your Holy Spirit move, and may You have Your will and Your way in our hearts, our lives, our church. Help us to go from this place this evening excited about the opportunity that we have to be salt in this world in which we live. We love You, we thank You, we praise You, we give You glory for it, in Jesus' name.
It is a pleasure to stand up here before you and try to sing to the glory of God. Some of you know that the Spirit of the Lord really moves when we try to do His will. And I just want you to pray for me this evening as I try to sing. But before I sing, Mom passed away 2003, May the 10th, and I've never written a poem before, and I just knew that I had to do something. I remember Lewis Adams getting up here and saying poems that he memorized, but my mind is not like that. I cannot recite a poem. But this poem I wrote for my mom, and I want you to listen to it. It's called Mom's New Body. 3 hours before midnight, the angels called Mom's name. Her family on earth will never be the same. Mom left so peacefully to be with Jesus that night. Mom is now surrounded with beauty and light. Mom was on earth for 98 long years. She is in heaven now, where she won't have to shed any more tears. To be with those loved ones who have passed on before, she will meet and greet them on that beautiful shore. There won't be any more pain, sorrow, or grief in that great land of sunshine. She will sit at the feet of Jesus, and with him she will dine. There will be flowers blooming with such beauty so rare. With each saint she sees, she will say, "Ah, such beauty I will share." Mom's body was withered and worn from the long life she lived on earth, but now she's shouting in heaven because of her new birth. Her body isn't old anymore. Now she's shouting and praising Jesus with joy. I was listening to Brother Boney this morning as he was talking about heaven. We don't really know what heaven is going to be like, but we can just imagine what it's going to be like, because Jesus is going to be there. And we can just praise him and say that we love you, Lord. And we want to try to do everything that you want us to do. And the song that I'm going to try to sing this evening is an old song. It's called "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
We move to Piedmont, Alabama, from Cartersville, Georgia. And the Piedmont church there sang a lot of the old convention songs. And some of you may not know what I mean by convention songs, but most of you probably will. And we would sing those songs. I told Susie, it's been probably several years ago now, but I'm reminded of it every time I hear songs like he sang just now. Most of those old convention songs were about heaven. They were about heaven. They were about what, you know, people were longing for and looking for. And I think we need to keep our eyes. We don't need... You're gonna look. We don't need to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. But I think we need to keep our focus on that there is something beyond just the here and the now. You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise his name. And I believe I've heard the song that Brother David sang all my life, and it was all I could do not to just join in and sing. I knew you wouldn't mind it, but anyway, I want us this evening to look at Matthew chapter five, and we're going to pick up. I started out with the Beatitudes. You know that. And talked about this upside down kingdom that we are a part of. And as I began to continue the message, I really felt like as I went through those messages, I really just felt like I needed to continue on looking at this great sermon that Jesus preached. And so tonight we're going to look at verse 13, and we're going to see what God has to say to us as we look at this. Jesus says here, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I'll never forget that when I was about 12 years old, my grandmother, who lived with us from the time I was 6 months old, basically until she passed away, when I was 12 years old, was put on a salt-free diet. Now, what was interesting about this salt-free diet is nobody told the family. Thank you. I appreciate you laughing. You got where I was going before I ever got there, you know. I'll never forget sitting down to that first meal that had been prepared, not knowing that there was not salt in anything. And I found out just how quickly and how important salt is to a meal. Now, I know that it's just me. I know it's my taste. But nothing seems to taste quite the same without salt in it. I take a little bitty blood pressure thing. And, you know, they told me when I went on it, they said, now you need to cut back on your salt. Somebody, you know, needs to talk to that doctor. I mean, they really do. I learned in chemistry that salt is a compound. It's composed of two elements, sodium and chlorine, which it's very interesting that both of those elements by themselves are poisonous. But you put them together, and as you put them together, something happens. And really, when you get right down to it, salt is of the utmost importance in our own bodies. We've got to have salt if you're going to live. And as I began to look in, it just really at this one verse, Jesus is talking about here something that is more than just a chemical. Jesus is talking about something that is more than just a seasoning that you put on something in order to make it a little more palatable. And salt was so very, very, very important to the people of his day. Salt was so important to the Romans that sometimes salt was used to pay their own soldiers. In fact, that's really where we get the word salary. That's how all that came about, was based on being paid by salt. Well, when Jesus told the disciples and the crowd that was there that day that you are the salt of the earth, we may look at that and we may not come to grips real quick with what he's talking about. But immediately those people who were sitting there on that hillside that day, as Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, immediately he had used a word picture that they understood. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Jesus is saying to them how important they are in the world in which they lived. But you could bring that to here and now. Jesus is saying to you, and he's saying to me, how important we are in the world in which we live. And so this evening, we're going to look at several different things as we go through this message tonight. And I believe God's going to help us to see how important we really are in the carrying out of the mission of his kingdom, okay? In the carrying out of the mission of his kingdom. The first thing that I want you to notice is that Jesus suggests to them, he suggests to us, that they were to be a purifying influence in the world in which they lived. Now, we don't think much about salt being a purifying influence. We don't think of it being a purifying agent. But those who sat there in Jesus' day, they understood that. The Oriental world of which the Holy Land is a part, they did and still use salt today to purify things. It was used in their purification ceremonies. You go to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4. And there the prophet says, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. What is he talking about? That this child, nothing was done that was supposed to be done. This child, as he's talking about here, was not purified as he was supposed to be. It's an example of how they believed that salt was a purifying agent. And the babies, they probably didn't appreciate it, but the babies were rubbed with salt. Boy, that tender skin. Can you imagine? But that was what they did. And so Jesus is telling those who are listening to him that day that they are to bring a purifying influence into the world in which they lived, a clean and a pure influence into a world that was dirty and was filthy and in ways that we can't even begin to understand. But I want you to understand something this evening, that you and I, in the world in which we live, we are to be a purifying influence. We're to be purifying agents in our culture. We're to be those who expose, but also try to remedy that which is impure in our culture. Now, I do want you to understand this, that we may not be very, very popular in doing things like that, but that is what we are called to do. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. This is talking about show those things for what they are. I want to understand something this evening. And this is not what I'm about to say is not going to be popular, okay? So I do want you to understand that. But right is still right and wrong is still wrong. Simple words, but it's really the truth. Just because our culture is accepting of many things does not necessarily mean that they have become right. It just means that they are accepting of them. But you and I are called into this world to be a purifying influence. Now, having said all that, that does not mean that we take our Bible and someone who is living in an improper way, it does not mean that we take our Bible as a book and beat them around the ears with it. But it does mean that you and I, get this wording, that you and I lovingly show them that Jesus has a better way. Isn't that true? That's what we believe. That Jesus has a better way.
And we have to be purifying agents in our world. Purifying agents are not going to come through our governmental system. I don't care which party you're talking about, it's not going to come about through our governmental system. And that's as far as I'm going with that. I would like to proceed, but I'm not going to. I told somebody this week that people ought to be glad that everything that hits my mind doesn't come out my mouth. You know? We've told the girls that was one of the things about my dad, and I love and I miss my dad. But the older he got, whatever hit his mind came out his mouth. And sometimes that was good, and sometimes I cringed, you know. But the reality of it is, the purifying of our culture is not going to come about. And I'm not talking about some radical, you know. I'm talking about the purifying of our culture is not going to come about by us exposing things without a cure. Jesus is the cure. And Jesus, when he would talk to people, it's interesting when he's talking to the lady there at the well, and he and her, they're having this conversation about all of this that is going on in her life. And yes, Jesus, realize, Jesus exposes everything about this lady to her. He didn't tell her something she didn't already know. But in doing so, he provided her with the means by which she could move beyond where she was at. That is what Jesus does in our culture today. Jesus provides people with the means of moving beyond where they are at presently into the place that he wants them to be. That is so important for us to preach. That is so important for us, for people to understand. He does not come to save us, to leave us as we are. He comes in order that he might change us from the inside out. He comes to purify us. And so we have to realize that we are purifying agents in this world. And folks, let me say this. If we fail to do that, we move into the category that you find there in the latter part of the verse where Jesus says, if the salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? If we're not doing all that we can do to bring the people around us into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, what good are we as Christians? I didn't figure I'd get amen on that one. But that is really the truth. If we're not bringing people to a place that they understand that there is something better than what they have, then we need to go back and examine our own selves, because we've lost our saltiness. We've lost our saltiness. We are called as the salt of the earth to be a purifying influence in our world. But not only are we called to be a purifying influence in our world, but as Christians, these people that Jesus was talking to at this point in time, he was telling them that not only were they a purifying influence, but they were also to be a preserving influence in their world. This one maybe we'll understand a little more, especially those of us who are, well, I can't really say that about me except for a little story I'm going to tell you here in just a moment. If years and years ago people understood that salt was a preservative, you know. You go and buy a cured ham, and nowadays it may have more than just salt, but years and years ago, that's how they did a cured ham. And if you go down to one of the local restaurants, they will cut you a piece of ham, and you can taste the saltiness in that ham. Country cured hams down here at, you know where I'm talking about. Any meat that was transported in Jesus' day, it was packed in salt. It was packed in salt before it was transported. Now, part of that was that the salt drew all the moisture out of that, so that it wouldn't just decay. But all the fish caught in the Sea of Galilee in Jesus' day was packed in salt before it could be taken to other parts of Judea. I was a kid preacher in Russellville, Alabama. I cannot say enough good about those people in Russellville. We showed up there, and they had moved from downtown. Brother Dr. Compton had moved them from downtown Russellville out to a little 5 acres of property there in Russellville, Oak Hill subdivision there in Russellville. It's all still there. You can look it up on Google Maps. It's there, and the church is still there. They were wonderful, wonderful people to us. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you think you have bad sermons, you ought to have heard them then. I told somebody one time. I said the first 12 weeks that I was their pastor, I was so scared, and most of my sermons had always been to youth groups there in Laurel, and I was so scared that basically what I did at one of the conferences that I went to, there was a sermon series that the preacher who was doing the conference, he was selling, and I took that sermon series home and typed it up word for word and preached it to them. They thought everything was great and wonderful for the first 12 weeks. Reality set in after that, though, you know. But, you know, my folks are from Lawrenceburg. They're Tennessee folks. But I was born in Texas. Don't hold that against me. But you know, I was born in Texas, and we'd lived in town most all my life. And so when we moved to Russellville, O.D. McDougal, Rick McDougal's dad and granddad, they were going to have a hog killing. And you did notice how I said that, okay? And so, you know, I made the statement when they were talking about it a couple of weeks before they were going to do it. It's getting cold weather, and so it became time. I'm right, aren't I? Agree with me, even if you think I'm wrong, you know. And so I said, well, I've never seen that done. That was my first mistake. What hit my mind came out my mouth. And so Rick said, well, I'm sure they wouldn't mind you coming. And O.D. said, oh, no, come on out. And so we got out there, and Mr. McDougal, they had the hog out there. And all of a sudden, things went in a direction that I had not really planned. I knew what was going to happen, but I'd never been. And I'll just tell you, it is no fun to pour hot water over a hog and scrape hair off. That tells you that I did it, doesn't it? You know? And I won't go into the rest of those gory details. And Marcy's over here praising God for that, you know? But Mr. McDougal had a smokehouse, and he took those hams that morning and went out there and completely rubbed them down in salt. Put a kind of a linen sack type thing around it and hung it up and left it there. And then took us inside and fixed tenderloin for breakfast. That was the best part of the whole day. But he preserved those hams by what he was doing with that salt. Now, I don't understand all the processes that go into that. I simply know it works. And I simply know that hams that are done that way are the best thing you're ever going to put in your mouth, you know. I don't believe that eating pork will send you to hell. I do think it might help you to get to heaven faster. Yeah, you got that one, didn't you? You and I are called to be preserving influences in our world. You and I are called to try to put away the rot. Isn't that an awful word? the rot and the decay that sin brings into our world. Now, I mean this kindly, and I'm not talking about the people themselves, but people's lives today are a mess, and people's lives today stink. Sin has wrecked, and sin has ruined their lives. They find themselves in all kinds of situations and circumstances that they don't want to be in, and they don't know how to get out of those things. That's why I say it so often. You and I have the opportunity to tell people, to show them that not only can God purify our hearts, but God has sent His Son to indwell us, to be a preserving influence in our lives. And if we don't preserve and if we don't save those around us, then this whole thing is lost. We are the ones that Christ is depending upon to do something about our world. We are called to be that preserving influence that brings out the best in those people. Just like what you do with a ham brings out the taste and brings out the best in that ham. You and I are called as a preserving influence to share Christ so that they can have the best that is in them brought out. You see, as Christians, we are a purifying influence in our world. As Christians, we are a preserving influence in our world, but we are also a permeating influence in our world. And by that, I mean that we penetrate, we permeate the world that is around us with the flavor of Christ. You know? This is one thing that I really came to understand while I was in Baton Rouge. Every year, the whole time that we were there, the church there hosted an event for Families Helping Families. Families Helping Families was a nonprofit organization there for adults with special needs. You have Special Olympics that really helps out kids that have special needs, but at a certain point, those kids age out of the system. And so Families Helping Families was there in order to help those families that had adult children with special needs. And so every year we hosted that event. We had 500 people go through our building in one day, our Family Life Center in one day every year. And it was such a great thing. Every year, Tony Sasseries, and if you go over here to Walmart, there's Cajun seasoning there, and it'll have Tony Sasseries on it. Every year, Tony Sasseries, the organization, would come and they would fry the turkeys for this event. And what they would do before they ever fried the turkeys, they would take those turkeys, and they had big, it looked like big hypodermic needle type things, and they would inject those turkeys with that seasoning from Tony Sasseries. And I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, that was good stuff. I mean, to be able to they did they fried them out in the parking lot there of the church, and big old fryer, and it was unbelievable all the oil that they used in order to do this. And but they would put that flavoring into that meat. It would permeate all of that meat, and when you ate it, folks, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm not up here to give you an advertisement for Tony Sasseries. It's green. It's, you know, got to meet Tony Sasseries' granddaughter. They were just good folks that did a lot of good things for the people of Louisiana. But that seasoning, and if you have another seasoning that you like better, we'll give you equal time sometime for that advertisement. Okay, but that was so good. It went all throughout that meat, and enhanced. I've already said this. It enhanced what was already there. And salt does that. I mean, it will go into the meat. It will enhance the flavor. It seems to bring out the flavor. And it mingles in there with it to the point that it kind of hides, but it's yet still there. And it doesn't lose itself in that process. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the New Testament called The Message, he paraphrased this verse like this: "Let me tell you what you are here. You are to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors in our world. You are to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors in our world." The Living Bible paraphrases it like this: "You are the world's seasoning to make it tolerable." Can you imagine what our world would be like if the people of God were not here? Think about that for just a moment. It's a frightening thing to stop and think about that if God's people were not here, what kind of world would we be living in right now if God's people were not here? We make it tolerable, as the writer of the Living Bible, or the paraphrase of the Living Bible, says there. We have been placed here in order that we can bring about a positive change in the lives of people. I know I've said that under every one of these points, but it's the reason I'm saying it is because that's what this is all about. That's what Jesus was saying to these folks. You are here for a purpose. You are here to bring about God's flavor. You are here to season this world with the love of Jesus Christ. You are here to do something other than just be here. And if we're just here, then we have lost our saltiness and we are good for nothing, Jesus says, except to be thrown out into the street and trampled. We are here to be so winsome and appealing that people want to experience Jesus. I don't know if you watch Food Network. You know, I don't know how your television watching goes. Ours is a whole lot of Food Network, HGTV, and MeTV. And every night on MeTV, you know, Andy Griffith and Gomer Pyle and Hogan's Heroes. You can put your mind in neutral and just enjoy, you know. But I'm telling you, to watch some of those programs on Food Network, I wish we had smell-o-vision. I really do. You know? You can sit there and just watch what's happening and drool. You want it so bad. You want to taste it. There's a guy that does some YouTube videos on Cajun cooking, and I'm telling you, I watch those things, and what it makes me want to do is go down to the store and buy some andouille sausage and make something, you know? It just does something. And folks, please understand, that is really, and I know I've made a joke about it, but that is really what we're supposed to be doing. Our lives should be such that people look at us and should say, "I want that. I want what they have." Yeah, they go through difficult times. They go through their ups and the downs. But despite all of their ups and downs, there seems to be something there, a joy and a peace that I don't have. I want that. That's really what Jesus is trying to tell us here. That people, we will so permeate the society around us that they will want that. Conclusion. Jesus is telling these folks here that they are supposed to be a purifying influence, a preserving influence, a permeating influence. The title of the message tonight was salt in a tasteless world. And we do live in a tasteless world. If you don't believe we live in a tasteless world, listen to some of the music and listen to and watch some of the television programs. And the reality of it is, you and I have been called to bring purity into our world. We have a compromised world. And you and I have been called to bring about purity in our world. We've been called to bring about a preserving influence in our world. We're helping to destroy the decay and the rot that is around us. And we have to be careful in all that we don't allow ourselves to decay and to rot because of the world that is around. Have you ever seen what happens if you have a rotten apple or a rotten potato in? You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to tell you. It's a whole lot easier for the rot to be passed on than it is for the good stuff to keep it from happening. And so you and I have to be real careful about our lives. We need to flavor our world in such a way that people will want what we have. This tasteless world, they will want something that brings about newness in their lives. And Jesus says to us, it's on the screen, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. We thank you, Lord, for just this very short verse, but what this very short verse says. Oh, we could go for a long, long time on this one verse. Help us, oh God, that we might indeed be a purifying influence in our world. Help us, oh God, that we would be a preserving influence in our world. And help us, oh God, that the God flavors of you in us would permeate, penetrate all those who are around us. May they want what we have because of our witness, our winsome witness to the power of Jesus in our lives. We are the salt of the earth, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to lose our saltiness. Help us, Lord, to do all that you've called us to do. We love you and we thank you for this time that we've had together. May you go with us, bless us, and use us. And for the good things you're going to accomplish in our hearts, our lives, our church, our families, our community, our nation, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you were here this evening. We're going to continue on for a few weeks in the Sermon on the Mount. Next week when we're together, we're going to be talking about the fact that you and I are the light of the world. There's a whole lot there, folks. We're just going to skim the top. How about that? Lord bless you. I'm glad you're here this evening. You were dismissed. Glad you joined us on Facebook. I didn't even say anything to our Facebook crowd. We're glad that you joined us on Facebook. Be sure and let us know with a comment that you were there. God bless you. I hope you have a great week.